Another massive order puts Airbus out in front. Boeing has its own bit of good news from Dubai. And even Cessna is profiting from a Middle East aviation boom. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 13th, 2007. It looks as if Airbus has regained the sales lead for 2007. On Monday, the European plane maker announced a slew of orders, including two new orders and memoranda of understanding for the A320 family and the newly resurgent A350 XWB. DAE Capital, the leasing and financing division of Dubai Aerospace Enterprise, signed an MOU to buy 70 A320s and 30 A350s. The company says it aims to become a leading lessor based in the Middle East. Headquartered in Dubai, DAE Capital's parent company manages airport development and operations, engineering, manufacturing, and services. The announcement comes on the heels of Sunday's order for 120 new Airbus planes from Emirates. Tom Enders, Airbus president and CEO, called the DAE order a tremendous endorsement of his company's aircraft. Quote, DAE's cluster of aerospace services allows customers to benefit from a world-class knowledge and service pool that is unique in aircraft leasing. The A320 really is the world's leading aircraft in its category, and so is the A350 XWB in its class, unquote. Enders told Reuters the plane maker has now received 1,122 gross orders for 2007, of which Middle Eastern customers account for 30%. The two blockbuster announcements from Airbus at the Dubai Air Show are overshadowing a good but less conspicuous showing from Boeing. The U.S. plane maker announced on Sunday an order from Qatar Airways for 30 new 787 Dreamliners and 5 777 freighters, with a total value of $6.1 billion at list prices. Bloomberg reports the airline also optioned 30 more 787s at the show. Qatar has orders pending with both Boeing and Airbus. The airline is due to receive its first Boeing 777 later this month and is in line for 80 Airbus A350 XWBs. Bloomberg says Qatar Airways plans to double the size of its fleet by 2015 to 110 aircraft. If there was any doubt that aviation is on a growth spurt in the Middle East, Cessna laid that to rest with its announcements from Dubai. Cessna says it has sold 25 planes, ranging from 162 Skycatchers to a Citation 10, to Wallen Aviation, based in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The deal is valued at a total of $110 million. The order list includes 4 Skycatcher light sport aircraft, 10 diesel-powered Skyhawk TDs, 4 Mustangs, 1 CJ2+, 1 CJ3, 1 XLS+, 3 Sovereigns, and a Citation 10. The aircraft will be delivered to the Cessna sales representative throughout 2008, 2009, and 2010. In a second deal announced on Sunday, BizJet charter operator Smart Aviation placed an order for 5 Citation Sovereign aircraft worth more than $80 million. The aircraft will be delivered through 2009. The company is part-owned by Egypt Air and began operating in early 2007 with a single Citation Sovereign. Also at Dubai, Cessna reports its longtime African distributor, Africair Incorporated, and Ethiopian Airlines have ordered 10 new turbodiesel Skyhawk 172 TDs. The airline will use the planes to replace its existing gasoline-powered trainers. The airline lauded the more economical power plant and Garmin glass panel in announcing its decision. Africair is the Cessna distributor for 41 countries in Africa. Hawker Beechcraft announced from Dubai Sunday that it has received certification for the Beechcraft King Air 350ER. The ER provides extended range through the addition of nacelle fuel tanks, along with an increase in gross weight from 15,000 pounds to 16.5, and it incorporates heavyweight landing gear. The company says the enhancements over the straight King Air 350 provide the 350ER with over 8 hours of endurance and the flexibility to loiter low and slow, or cruise at 300 knots at 35,000 feet with a maximum range of 2,570 nautical miles. Taking off at gross weight with full fuel and full payload, the 350ER can fly out 100 nautical miles, perform a low-altitude surveillance mission for 7 hours 20 minutes, fly back 100 miles, and still land with over 45 minutes of fuel on board. That performance is unmatched by any other aircraft in its class, according to Hawker Beechcraft. The price is about $6.8 million with typical equipment. Up next on ANN, NTSB blames a pilot and a controller for a 2005 fatal accident. Boeing sends heavyweight help to a struggling Dreamliner supplier. And investigators find clues to what took down a Piper Aero in Utah. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 13, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Poor weather and errors on the part of the pilot and traffic controllers are being blamed by the National Transportation Safety Board for the crash of a Cessna 337 Skymaster in October of 2005. Michael Zinn was flying from Boca Raton, Florida to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. His trouble appears to have begun when he was handed off to Miami Center. After clearing Zinn to climb to 11,000, the controller advised the pilot of buildups directly in his flight path and asked Zinn for his intentions. The pilot turned to the west and asked the controller for additional guidance. Recordings reveal the controller begged off, saying his radar showed only precipitation. Later, after a gap in responding to Zinn's calls, the controller offered a suggested heading and Zinn acknowledged. But shortly afterward, witnesses say they saw the plane descending from the clouds through 300 feet before it rolled, climbed briefly, then crashed into a house in Port St. Lucie. Friends said the 52-year-old Zinn regularly flew between his homes in Florida and the town of Ulster, New York. NTSB neither identified the controller nor indicated whether any disciplinary action was taken. Boeing's experiment with global sourcing of subassemblies for the 787 Dreamliner has enjoyed mixed success so far, and the plane maker has implemented contingency plans to shore up suppliers which appear to be struggling. One of those suppliers has been Vought Aircraft Industries. In numbers released on Friday, Vought reported a third-quarter loss of $2.1 million. That's a major improvement over last year's $13.1 million loss, but still serious enough that Boeing has sent help. The Seattle Times reported on Friday that Boeing has appointed former 787 production VP Scott Strode to work with Vought, quote, to strengthen management of the supply chain, unquote. Vought is based in Dallas and manufactures aircraft components at plants in six states. It builds fuselage sections for the Dreamliner in North Charleston, South Carolina. Earlier this year, Strode took over the top management slot at that plant. The NTSB has issued a preliminary report on the October 26th crash of a Piper Aero that claimed the lives of two brothers. The board reports Benjamin and James Timpson were flying from Bountiful, Utah to Colorado City, Arizona, when they suffered an in-flight loss of control. The plane then broke up, in flight, and crashed in mountainous terrain near Cedar City, Utah. Investigators found both ailerons had detached, along with the outboard sections of both wings and parts of the tail. The wreckage started a fire which burned several acres near the crash site at an elevation of 6,400 feet. A full causal report is not likely for about a year. The Transportation Security Administration's handling of security lines is being blamed for transforming Denver International Airport from a place with some of the shortest waits in the nation to one with some of the longest lines during fiscal 2007. Officials are looking for ways to solve the problem before the busy holiday season gets into full swing. The Rocky Mountain News reports that last December, flyers boarding at Denver waited 2.5 hours to get through security. That beat even second place JFK. Colorado's congressional delegation is pressuring the TSA, which responds it's not simply a matter of increasing staffing. TSA did offer these helpful tips to get through the lines quicker. Try to travel during off-peak times or plan to arrive at least 2 hours early. Avoid the south screening area where the lines are longest and instead use Concourse A where they're the shortest. leave weapons at home. And finally, if you're a guy and you see an attractive woman ahead in line, do not say, she's da bomb. Because apparently, screening slows to a crawl if you don't update your vocabulary for 15 years. Still ahead, Boeing's ill-fated entry into the business of spy satellites. NASA catches heat for million-dollar award banquets. And a veteran skydiver is alive because of all that practice. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 13, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Boeing is at least 6 months behind on the development of the 787 Dreamliner, but was in denial until its recent admission. Now, the New York Times reports Boeing had a similar candor problem overseeing development of a new generation of spy satellites for the federal government. The Times found that the government's attempt to save money, the lack of supervision of Boeing's progress despite the company's inexperience in the field, and the post-9/11 political environment added up to a perfect storm. After starting work in 1998, Boeing reportedly designed an optics core for the spy satellite so complex, engineers said it couldn't be built. Other design mistakes, defective parts, and supplier shortcuts put the program far behind. The Times reports that when the plug was finally pulled in 2005, cost estimates had ballooned as high as $18 billion for what was supposed to be a $4 billion program. In the end, the U.S. is using obsolete spy satellite technology. Boeing's Ed Nowinski, an engineer with 28 years at the CIA, headed the development program, but was jettisoned by Boeing as the contract unraveled. He acknowledges the company accentuated the positive in progress reports to the government. Boeing has declined official comment, noting the program is still classified. When NASA went to ask the U.S. Senate for additional funding last month, former astronaut Bill Nelson testified, quote, "Right now, we're at a critical point because NASA is starved for funds," unquote. Maybe starved was the wrong word. Cheryl Atkison of CBS News notes that on the same day the money was being approved, NASA had an online request for proposals for a 4-star hotel to host its December awards gala. CBS reports the awards program is intended to honor workers who contribute to flight safety. The December bash reportedly will start with 5 days and 4 nights at a Florida luxury hotel for 300 honorees and their guests, capped off by a reception for 750 people featuring a carving station, assorted vegetables, breads, and desserts, and that's before the 3-course dinner which follows. CBS is critical of NASA for its extravagance. In the overall scheme of things, the budget for the dinners is about a 0.1% of the cost of a shuttle launch, but when you're spending tax dollars, appearances are everything. 51-year-old Lachland L.D. Jeffries is an air transport pilot with 11,000 hours in the logbook, a captain for Continental, and has made over 1,000 parachute jumps with the U.S. Air Force Pararescue Unit. On his own time, he enjoys aerobatics in his ultimate 10-200 home-built single-seat biplane. Or at least he did. On Sunday, all that varied experience may have saved his life. The New Hampshire Union Leader reports Jeffries got his plane into a flat spin over a residential air park near Ossipee, New Hampshire, and couldn't recover. Jeffries told the paper he started spinning at 3,000 feet, killed power, and released the controls at 1,800, and the plane kept spinning. He popped the canopy and bailed out at 1500. The plane was destroyed. Jeffries escaped without a scratch. He said he practices aerobatics a couple times a week, and this was the first time he's ever had to bail out. But he says he was ready with this personal rule. Quote, at 1500 feet, if a plane is out of control, I give it back to the bank. Unquote. And finally, a rare Douglas C-47, which was patched up more than once after battles in World War II and participated in the D-Day landings, is sitting on an airfield near Sarajevo, waiting to see if it gets scrapped or restored. Reuters reports that Beatrice Guillaume, who runs a D-Day museum in Normandy, wants to restore the plane, but an inept Bosnian bureaucracy has not been able to get the paperwork straight to release it. The plane is of little value to anyone but a historian or restorer. It was intentionally machine-gunned in 1994 to make sure it couldn't participate in the Yugoslav Civil War. At least two major ironies are playing out as the museum volunteers stand by for the order to crate the plane or go home. One is the fact that if the release is signed, it will be German troops stationed in Bosnia who load the plane onto trucks for the trip to Normandy. The other big irony is the plane's nickname, painted under the cockpit by a World War II crew. It's called the Snafu Special, as in situation normal. Well, you know the rest. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Doug Clark, president of the Diamond Aviators Association, newly merged from two previous organizations of Diamond aircraft owners. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.